Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 61, verse 21. Anagata matitam cha vartamanam atindriyam viprakrishtam vyavahitam samyak pasyanti yoganaha. Anagatam, not yet happened, atitam, past, cha, also, vartamanam, present, atindriyam, beyond the purview of the senses, viprakrishtam, distant, vevahitam, blocked by obstacles, samyak, perfectly, pasyanti, see, yogina, mystic yogis. Translation, mystic yogis can perfectly see that which has not yet happened, as well as things in the past or present, beyond the senses, remote or blocked by physical objects. Prabhupada here, King Parikshit, encourages Sukadeva Goswami to explain right Rukmi gave his daughter to Lord Krishna's son, Pradyumna. The king stresses that since great yogis like Sukadeva Goswami know everything, the sage must also know this and should explain it to the anxious king. Sukadeva Goswami said, at her Swayambar ceremony, Rukmavati herself chose Pradyumna, who was the re-embodiment of Cupid. Then, although he fought alone on a single chariot, Pradyumna defeated the assembled kings in battle and took her away. Though Rukmi always remembered his enmity towards Lord Krishna, who had insulted him, in order to please his sister, he sanctioned his daughter's marriage to his nephew. Report the answer to King Pariksit's question is given here. Ultimately, Rukmi approved his daughter's marriage to Pradyumna in order to please his sister, Rukmini. O King, Bali, the son of Kritavarma, married Rukmi's young daughter, large-eyed Charumati. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami explains that each of the Lord's queens had one daughter, and that this mention of Charumati's marriage is an indirect reference to the marriages of all these princesses. Rukmi gave his granddaughter, Orochana, to his daughter's son, Aniruddha, despite Rukmi's relentless feud with Lord Hari. Although Rukmi considered this marriage irreligious, he wanted to please his sister, bound as he was by the ropes of affection. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami explains that according to worldly standards, one should not give one's beloved granddaughter to the grandson of one's bitter enemy. Thus we find the following injunction, Dvishat Annam Bhoktavyam Vishantam Naiva Bhojayat. One should not eat an enemy's food or feed an enemy. There's also the following prohibitions, Asparagyam Loka Vidvistam Dharmam Api Acharet Natu. One should not execute religious injunctions if they will obstruct one's journey to heaven or if they are odious to human society. It should be pointed out here that Lord Krishna is not really the enemy of anyone, as the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantam Rajati. One achieves peace by understanding that I am the well-wishing friend of every living being. Although Lord Krishna is everyone's friend, Rukmi could not appreciate this fact and considered Lord Krishna his enemy. Still, out of affection for his sister, he gave his granddaughter to Aniruddha. Finally, we should note that, contrary to the prohibition quoted above, one may not give up the basic principle of spiritual life merely because such principles are unpopular with people in general. As Lord Krishna states in Gita, Sarva Dhamma Paricchaya Mamekam Sharanam Braja, the last word in spiritual duties is to surrender to Supreme Lord, and that duty takes precedence over all secondary injunctions. Moreover, in this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has kindly presented a sublime process that will attract all sincere people to come to the point of surrendering to the Lord. By following Lord Chaitanya's blissful process of chanting, dancing, feasting, and discussing spiritual philosophy, one can easily go home back to Godhead for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Still, someone may argue that members of the Krishna consciousness movement should not practice in Western countries those ceremonies or activities that displease people in general. We respond that even in the Western countries, when people are properly informed of the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement, they generally appreciate this great spiritual institution. Those who are especially envious of God will not appreciate any type of religious movement. And since such persons are themselves little better than animals, they cannot impede the great Krishna consciousness movement, just as the envious Rukmi could not impede the performance of Lord Krishna's pure pastimes. So here we see that Rukmi gave his granddaughter, Rochana, to Aniruddha. In spite of the fact that Rukmi had hatred of Krishna, yet he was willing to somehow please his sister. So for that reason, he offered his granddaughter, Rochana. This is based upon, of course, demonic mentality. Someone who hates the Lord is put in a certain class of persons. They are called Bahir Muka, or opposed to the Lord. We have different types of people. Those who are favorable, we call them devotional people. We have those who are neutral, not one way or the other. And then we have those who are hostile to the Lord. They call Bahir Muka. And among the Bahir Muka Jivas, we have some who are more and more hostile towards the Supreme Lord. So Rukmi was in this category of being very hostile to Krishna. So in spite of the Lord being present on earth, and in spite of the fact that everyone could see him, and that many great personalities were worshipping Krishna, the demons refuse to recognize the Lord, even if they see him. So, some people sometimes argue that the Lord should show himself, and then that's proof that the Lord exists. But if the Lord shows himself, then they will say, no, that's not the Supreme Lord, he's a material person. Exactly what Rukmi and Shishupal think. They see the Supreme Lord and say, well, this is not Supreme Lord. You praise him, but he has no good qualities. He's just an ordinary person born in the material world and subject to faults like everybody else. So why we should praise him? Why we should look at him? So, in other words, the demon is so covered over that even if the Lord appears, he doesn't see the Lord. He doesn't have qualification. He does not have spiritual eyes. So he never appreciates the Lord and becomes inspired by his spiritual form. So whether the Lord appears or doesn't appear, that's not going to act as some sort of proof that the Supreme Lord exists. Because even if he does appear, people will not appreciate him if they have material eyes. So we see in Lord Krishna's pastimes, we have these two types of people. We have the great devotees of the Lord, like the people of Vrindavan or the Yadus or their allies. They all appreciated the Supreme Lord and they praised him, and they derived great pleasure from their relationship with Krishna. And then we have the other persons in the material world, like Rukmi and Shishupala and Kamsa and others. Even if they see the Lord, they don't appreciate him. So, no matter what proof one gives to a materialistic person, he won't accept that as proof. So the most direct proof, of course, is if the Supreme Lord stands in front of you, then that's the direct proof. But even then, people don't accept. So this is the problem with trying to prove the Supreme Lord, that there's no way you can prove it to a person who is in the material world, because no matter what proof you give, he will reduce it to material terms and see only something material there. So, unfortunately, that is the case of many people. So when Krishna was present, we find there were these two types of people. We have the devotees and we have the demoniac persons who didn't appreciate the Supreme Lord at all. And therefore, when Krishna performs his pastimes, we find that there are some people who always oppose him. So we have here Rukmi. He's related to the Lord through marriage, yet he hates the Supreme Lord. His only qualification was he wanted to please his sister, Rukmini, so therefore he agreed to this. We can say maybe his redeeming quality was he was related to Rukmini, who is the queen of Krishna. So, but yet, we see his attitude was completely different. He was demoniac, where his sister was actually a consort of the Supreme Lord and a Shakti of the Supreme Lord, so quite different in nature. So, relationship through family bonds does not always guarantee that a person is devotional.
in the Lord's own family, we find hostile people. Kamsa himself was a relative of Krishna. Yep. Very hostile to the Lord. Shishupala was also a relative of Krishna. Yep. Hostile. So, therefore, our material relations also are not a consideration to give proper insight or vision of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification is devotion. And this qualifies one to see the Supreme Lord. So some of those who are devotional have a relationship with the Lord as a family member. So the Yadus are all related to the Supreme Lord. The people of Vrindavan also related to the Supreme Lord. Others may not have a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. Even if they don't have a direct family relationship, they can have very intimate relationships with Krishna. So it doesn't depend on family relationship at all, simply upon the devotion. However, we also see that generally, if one is related to Krishna, one gets more intimate and closer and constant association with Krishna. So there's a special privilege in being a family member. And for that reason, the Yadus were considered exalted, because they get to stay with Krishna constantly in Dwarka. So the more constantly one was with the Lord, that means the more one gets the favor of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, those who are the relatives of the Lord have some sort of special favor of the Lord, greater devotees. So this, of course, does not exclude other jivas, because by sadhana, then one can attain a position and become a relative of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world and be born into a particular family. The simply implies that one has greater devotion because of that relationship, and one is put into that position of constantly being with the Lord. In any case, the qualification is devotion. This is how one can see the Supreme Lord. And if one doesn't have that devotion, one will not see the Supreme Lord if he is present. The same goes for the Dhamma. If materialistic people go to the holy places, they will not see the holy place. They will see a material place only. So if one goes to Navadvipa and sees all the dogs in the garbage, or whatever, or goes to Vrindavan and sees the dust and the sharp rocks and the thorns or whatever, then one is seeing a material place. And if one has devotional eyes, then one will see spiritual dham, and one will see activities of the Supreme Lord in that place. So one has to have proper eyes to appreciate the Supreme Lord or his Dhamma. However, even if one does not have fully developed spiritual eyes, if one has proper attitude, then one gets benefit. So even though devotees cannot see the real Vrindavan, if they have devotional attitude, they get benefit from going to Vrindavan or Mayapur. They get some influence on them spiritually. So therefore, one of the five major angas of bhakti for the person doing sadhana bhakti is to live in the holy dham, or to go to the holy dham and see the holy dham. This has great spiritual influence on the person, even if he can't directly see the spiritual world there. Even if a devotee is not advanced and he cannot see the Supreme Lord, at least he gets the influence of the Supreme Lord by his favorable attitude. So that is what sadhana bhakti is. We cannot see the Lord, and the perfection is to see the Lord. So the perfection is bhava, in which one sees the Lord. To get to that stage, then we do sadhana. So in that sadhana stage that we cannot see the Lord, we appreciate the Lord. We have devotion for the Lord. So that acts to gradually help us develop spiritual eyes, spiritual vision, and destroy all the obstacles or the anartas which block our spiritual vision. So the process of bhakti is such that it enables us to develop the spiritual eyes by which we can appreciate the Supreme Lord. And then that is direct proof of the Supreme Lord. So people like Rukmi or Shishupala or Kamsa are completely unfavorable to the Lord. They are opposed to the very idea of Krishna being the Supreme Lord. So therefore, their vision is completely material. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am covered by my maya, so that the materialist cannot see me, and he thinks I'm an ordinary person. So that is illustrated here by the pastimes of Krishna, in which we have these demons who see the Lord, but don't see him at all, don't appreciate him. They may fight with the Lord or do so many things in opposition to the Supreme Lord. Or, in this case, we find there was some favorability simply because Rukmi was attached to his sister, and therefore he allowed the marriage to take place. But otherwise, he still hated the Supreme Lord. So, even the demon, with opposition to the Lord, gets benefit from hating the Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita it says that whether in hatred or in friendship, you can concentrate on the Supreme Lord. And even that hatred, as in Shishupala's case or in Kamsa's case where they concentrated on the Lord, it was beneficial for them. Because if you think of the Lord, you go to the Lord. So even in hatred, you can go to the Lord. But it may take a different form. So the demon concentrates on the Lord in hatred. Finally, the Lord kills the demon, and he gets liberation. That's how he attains the Lord. For the devotee, of course, that is not considered a great blessing at all. It's bad, but for the demon, of course, it is a great privilege that he can get liberation from material world. So if one concentrates on the Lord in hatred, then this will happen. However, even that does not happen in most cases. They may hate the Lord, but not with great concentration. But with Krishna, then this happens. Why? Because Krishna is most attractive. And in the hatred, they will think of Krishna more and more because of his attractive features. By that constant absorption, then they get liberation. Or in some cases, they can go to the spiritual world and get a spiritual body. And this is not so in the case of other forms of the Lord. So, in the Nectar Devotion, it mentions 64 qualities of the Lord. Five qualities distinguish Vishnu from Shiva. So, one of the qualities is when Vishnu kills a demon, the demon gets a good destination. It doesn't say he gets liberated or goes to spiritual. It's just an auspicious destination, Subha. So that happens when forms of the Lord other than Krishna kill a demon. They don't go to hell. So they get an okay position. Example is given of Rani Kasipu killed by Nrsimhadev. And what did he do? He became Ravana. So he got to enjoy in the material world. In one sense, he didn't go to hell, didn't get punishment. Why? Because he was killed by the Lord. Otherwise, if he wasn't killed by the Lord, he would go to hell for all of his sinful activities. And when he's killed by the Lord, he's delivered from his sin, and he enjoys nicely on earth. But when Krishna kills demons, different. Why? Because those demons become attracted to the Lord, and they concentrate on him more and more. And that purifies them in spite of their hatred. And so when the Lord kills them, they get liberation. because they're purified already. They concentrated on the Supreme Lord. Or in rare cases, they may get a spiritual body in the spiritual world, as in the case of Agasura or Putana. So, therefore, when Krishna kills a demon, it is different. Not only is it a good destination, but they get liberation or spiritual world. So this is recited in the Puranas to show that Krishna manifests more attractive qualities than others. And that is why when Krishna kills a demon, there is better result. They go to spiritual world, or they go to get liberation instead of simply taking birth in the material world. So therefore, the demons in Krishna's pastimes, we can say, get special benedictions, in spite of the fact that they are in the worst position. But what this illustrates is that though the demons get liberation or a place in the spiritual world, the devotees get something higher than that. So, definitely, the devotees don't want liberation in Brahman. They don't even aspire to be in the spiritual world or get a spiritual body. They only want to serve the Lord. But, because they have devotion to the Lord, not hatred, their concentration on the Lord is much different. It is favorable to the Lord, and the result that they get is much more. So they don't get liberation, they go to the spiritual world, but their relationship with the Lord is filled with more rasa, more bliss. Whereas the demons who get a spiritual body in the spiritual world are in a weak position. So whatever the demon gets, the devotee gets much more because of his devotion. So this is a very just, reasonable way in which the Lord responds to different personalities. Of course, even for the demons, it's not every demon gets a place in the spiritual world. Most just get moksha, liberation, in Brahman, which is not accepted by devotees at all. And a few go to the spiritual world, but even there, the relationship is much less than that of the devotees. So in this way, the Lord responds appropriately to all the different persons. But in none of them are the objects of the Lord's hatred. And that we see in the case of the demons. By killing the demons, they get benefit of some sort. They get a good destination. So the Lord does not hate anybody. In that sense, he's equal to all. But he favors the devotee also. So therefore, the devotee gets a better destination than the demons. So this is a quality in the Lord which is worthy of praise, that he responds according to the qualification of the person. Everybody gets benefits, but the devotee gets the most benefit of all. And in fact, the devotee gets so much benefit that he begins to control the Lord, which is the unique quality of bhakti. In the very beginning, Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion describes the sixth quality of bhakti as Krishna Karshani. Krishna is attracted to bhakti. And in prema, Krishna is so attracted that he comes under the control of the devotee. This will never happen with the demons. Even if the demon goes to the spiritual world, he doesn't get to control the Lord. But one who's developed strong prema for the Lord, then the Lord becomes equally devoted to that person and acts on his behalf at all times. So therefore the devotee is celebrated more than the demon because of the devotee's favorable attitude. So though Rukmi was born in a family which has got relationship with the Lord, he didn't take advantage of it. he could be very closely related with Krishna, but he was so blind, being a demon, that he could not see and appreciate the Supreme Lord with a favorable attitude. But he got benefit in the sense that even though he hated the Lord, because he was related to the Lord and his family, he got some association, then he got some benefit in that way. But it was not a conscious benefit on his part. It wasn't favorable. So therefore, he didn't take advantage of the situation he was in as a devotee would. And thus, his destination is much, much lower than that of a devotee who favors the Lord.
What is, if someone appreciates the Lord, he get benefit. We see in the Mahabharata, there are so many people right there, so many soldiers right there, but someone might not see the Lord also, even doesn't know the Lord also, but still they got the benefit. Mm. So how is it possible?
Yeah, those people who are neutral and they see the Lord, then they get some benefit. For instance, we see the people of different provinces when Krishna was going out of Dwarka and traveling someplace else or returning to Dwarka. It describes that on the way, different provinces were there and the people gathered and they saw the Lord and they developed great joy, etc. So we can say they were inclined at least a little bit to the Lord, or they may be neutral, but by seeing the Lord, then they also develop. Even the demon gets some benefit by seeing the Lord, but of course, very, very little. So those who are neutral are a little favorable, and if they see the Lord, you get more benefit. But the most benefit goes to the one who is very favorable to the Lord, the devotee who has developed faith and he's practicing. So when he sees the Lord, then he gets a profound influence of the Supreme Lord.
And what is one more question? Like, see, it is said that, you know, this Pundar Vasudev, Shishupala, and Dantavakara, they got Sarupamukti. Mm. But they were killed by the Krishna, but Kamsa got only Sayujamukti. Mm. So what is the difference? All are killed by Krishna only, correct?
Uh-huh. It's up to the Supreme Lord what he wants to give, whether he gives Sarupya or he gives Brahman or whatever like that. It's up to the Lord. If they really concentrate on the form of the Lord, they can attain, Sarupya or something like that. In the case of others, they may not appreciate the Lord at all, but still, the Lord will give them, and they don't concentrate so much. Still, the Lord, when he kills them, he gives them at least liberation. I would suppose, therefore, it would depend on the intensity in which they concentrate on the Supreme Lord.
Can you say that a degree of absorption?
Depends on the amount of absorption in the Lord. But definitely more absorption in Krishna than in Ramchandra or Nishimadev, because when they were killed by Narasimha and Rama, same demon actually, they didn't even get liberation. But when Shishupala was killed by Krishna, then he got a form of the spiritual world. Others will get liberation. So the two options are there for concentration on Krishna. So I suppose it's a matter of degrees and how much they concentrate on the Lord, whether they just get Brahman or they get forearm form.
Because, you know, see, only Shishupal and Dantavakara and Pandavakara, they knew that only Krishna they can kill us. Mm. So once they knew that Krishna can kill us, they started, their adjustment started increasing. But for Rama and Narasimha, when Ramana didn't know that Rama is going to kill him, they are unaware of this, you know. Mm. Can you say like this also?
Well, the beauty of Narasimhadeva Ramachandra was not so much also.
Yeah.
The attractive qualities were not manifested to the degree they were in Krishna. So therefore, they did not concentrate on the Lord in hatred even. Whereas for someone like Shishupala, the qualities of Krishna acted so that he was always thinking of Krishna and chanting his name. And for that reason, then when he was killed, he got spiritual world. So greater concentration of the mind due to the attractive qualities of Krishna.
That we first started, we were discussing regarding this in Dwaraka, in the spiritual world, Krishna has one 16,000 that is fixed. But in the Brahma Samhita, there is a commentary said that if someone, you know, this perform Vaidya Bhakti and follow the Madhurya Rasa, so he become wife princess in the Dwaraka. So you can say that, you know, we can see that, you know, that so if someone go to the Dwaraka and if have rasa with Krishna in the Madhurya Rasa, that means that 16,180 is increasing. 16,180 is increasing. That is not fixed.
Well, the 16,108 is a pastime in the material world. Whether it's fixed in the spiritual world, I don't know. It doesn't mention. In any case, one could become a queen or someone related to the queen, something like that. Maybe there's a few extras that are added into the group in the spiritual world as opposed to the material world. So it may not be fixed like in the material world, in this particular pastime at least. And in other yuga cycles, in other days of Brahma, maybe different different amounts of queens may be there, more. So it depends on the pastime in the particular day of Brahma also, how many queens are there. And also in terms of the gopis, of course, it's described there were 3 billion gopis in the first Ras Lila, but then, of course, it may differ at different times how many gopis are there also. Could be more gopis.
Spoke about the 16,108 queens. There were varieties of Madhurya Rasa. How do you differentiate between one Madhurya Rasa and the other? There were varieties.
Well, it's described in, for instance, in the Ujjwala Nilamani. Different varieties of gopis are there in relation to Krishna. Some are very shy, some are very bold, some speak very roughly, some are very timid. So this is in the material world, a great variety of personalities. So in the gopis also, there's a different relationship with Krishna due to their personalities. So this gives rise to a different type of rasa, even though it's all Madhurya rasa.
Hi.